To everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven. Time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant, a time to pluck up that which is planted. How many of you have your garden started? It's that time, isn't it? It's getting ready to go. It's a time, it's a season for so many things. I enjoy the four seasons that we at least have a measure of. Sometimes it may seem like it's twisted around here and there, but, you know, our biggest snow is when it's supposed to be turning spring, but, you know, I enjoy our four seasons. To everything there is a season. God tells us something about himself and seasons. He said, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is, which was, and which is to come, the Almighty. Another passage, he said, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. We can sum that up by a simple verse in Malachi chapter 3, in verse number 6, for I am the Lord, I change not. I am the Lord, I change not. Change is happening all around us. We see it every day. Change that is taking place. Changes that are taking place in our country. Some of them are really, really difficult to watch. It hurts the heart. It may squeeze us a little bit to watch some of these changes that take place. When I saw that our present president was changing some of the things that our previous president had set up in the way of the abortion industry and taking baby parts for sale or for profit, it grieved me when I read that. Opening the door back up to that kind of stuff. It's likely that most of us see the many changes that are taking place as bad changes. Some of them we would even look at and say that they are directional changes that lead to a completely different United States of America than what we hope for, than what our forefathers hoped for, planned for. We see changes that have, we see changes that are taking place in the lives of friends and acquaintances. Sometimes those changes are drastic directional changes. I've heard the word deception from multiple people in recent weeks. I've preached about it in recent months. It seems as though the devil is working overtime in the deception department. Sometimes these individuals that we see making changes, drastic directional changes, it brings new attention to what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 24, in verse 24, for there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. What does Jesus mean when he says the very elect? I looked at different translations trying to come up with an understanding of who it was that Jesus might have been referring to there. And it seems as though all of their translations except for one basically continued that thought, the very elect, except for Weymouth. And he said it this way, so as to deceive, were it possible, even God's own people. I think that translation brings it right into the house, doesn't it? Right into our house. Right into Wise Ball Church, if you please. When we think about the very elect, we might have in our minds somebody else out here that's above us spiritually. These great, big, wonderful spiritual giants that we look to. But when we look at the reality of it, what he's referring to is people that are God's own people. You know, I know that sometimes we find it difficult to call ourselves a saint. But if you're serving God, if you're faithful to God's will, if you're obedient to Him, you're a saint. We think that that word saint is reserved for the people that are in their 70s, 80s, or 90s. That the people that are the very elect are the people that are the 70s, 80s, and 90s. Who've been serving the Lord for 50, 60, or 70 years. Even God's own people. Is it possible? You see, deception's real. Peter warns us. He said, "Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure." Make sure of your spiritual standing. Don't just assume. Don't just think that you're doing okay, that maybe somewhere along the line that you've received a blessing and you understand that God blessed you with something specific, and because of that, you must be doing okay spiritually. No, don't make those assumptions. Make sure of your calling and election. Make sure of your standing in Christ. Give diligence. I want to share four things with you that the Lord's been speaking to me about. Four things that are not up for debate. Four things that I have no desire to change. No desire to change. Number one. Morality. Now that encompasses a whole lot, and I probably won't touch on everything that it could touch on tonight. First of all, under the heading of morality, life begins with God and ends with God. Human life begins at fertilization, and I'm still opposed to the shortening of life at the end with the use of drugs or of any other means. God's will at the end of life. Now that has recently brought up a little bit of confusion for me. Because it seems as though, as opposed as I am to the ending, the shortening of life, at the end of life, it seems as though we are quite intent on the use of all kinds and types of measures to extend life. And while I lay struggling with those thoughts for myself, and I still haven't come up with a clear, definitive answer for that part, but I do have come to the conclusion that my life is in His hands. And while I did make use of life-saving options, He still could have allowed me to die. No, I don't think that I was on my deathbed, but I suppose that I was near enough to cause me to think some serious thoughts. That God has our lives in His hands is a must precept or principle that governs and directs us in all of our life decisions. It's one of those things I don't think that I don't want to change. It's not up for debate. Another thing along or underneath the heading of morality is that there are two genders. Now, I know that I'm probably considered preaching to the choir tonight, that there's not a person here that would differ in that opinion. We hear it so often today that you need to follow science and you need to follow settled science. Well, this settled science has been settled for a long time about genders. You know, it boggles my mind how anybody can think that there's anything other. But when we talk about following science, we must make sure that science has been filtered through the Word of God. Always. Some things that I'm not interested in changing is morality. Along with morality, or under the heading of morality, I think words like honesty and integrity and faithfulness and holiness, these words are still definitive words for the Christ follower. If you don't know what those words are, write them down and look them up, research them, and allow them to infiltrate the very core of your life as a Christ follower. Integrity, honesty, faithfulness, holiness. When I'm talking about morality, I'm talking about shacking up is still wrong. I don't know if I need to define that any further or not, but carefulness in relationships is still necessary. It's still prudent. Technology has its pitfalls and should be viewed as such. Technology can be very dangerous. As a matter of fact, I've recently been told that Snapchat is very dangerous. Now, I don't know. I've never used it. The problem here is that I don't have a clue about the endless possibilities that exist in this realm of technology. I don't. I don't even know where to begin preaching on things that are dangerous in the area of technology. I think that we have to be ever so careful about our freedoms in the use of technology. It has destroyed many a person. It's destroyed many people. And it's still destroying people. Now, I applaud parents who are overly, parentheses or quotation marks around the word overly cautious with their kids and cell phones. Now, that word overly cautious, or those two words, overly cautious, probably points back to the minds of the kids or some peers that don't think it's necessary. You know, I'm glad that my kids are grown. I'm glad that I didn't have to deal with some of those issues when they were children and early teens. I applaud those parents who set up strict boundaries and then follow through with them. Yes, amen. Follow through with them. There's far too many families, far too many individuals, far too many dads. Let me bring it right down to dads. Far too many dads that have set up strict boundaries and then somehow in their dad's mind they ignored them and they vanished and the kids were left hanging there with wonder, wondering what in the world's going on. Dad said this was important and now it's not. You want to talk about a problem with your children, that'll create a problem with your children. The inconsistencies I said a moment ago about faithfulness. It's important to set up strict boundaries and to follow through with them. It's a whole lot more difficult to follow through than it is to set up, though. Morality, I'm not interested in changing. Number two, marriage. One man, one woman. For life. We have some young couples that attend or are closely attached to our church even now, looking at this thing called marriage. Let me just state it right here, okay? Let's just listen to it afresh. I, John Sherwood, take thee, Leanne Renee, to be my wedded wife, to have and to hold from this day forward, for better, for worse, for richer, for poorer, in sickness and in health, to love and to cherish till death do us part, according to God's holy ordinance, and thereto I pledge thee my faith. But only if you pledge to call me Lord. Or only if you pledge to obey my every command or clean up my messes, and as long as I don't fall out of love with you. Oh, I mean those vows, but no, we don't usually have that little contingent stuck to our marriage vows, but it seems to be a common practice to have it in the back of minds when they say those vows or something similar. But God's holy ordinance is still the same as it was when God ordained marriage, one man, one woman. Not two guys, not two girls, nor any other combination of creatures or creations. One man, one woman. Sometimes due to sin and the hardness of heart, divorce is inevitable. But marriage is a choice. Whether it's the first time or the second time, or the third time or the fourth time. And God says clearly that one man, one woman, for life. That's the ordination of marriage by God. Now, I've run into a lot of people who did choose to marry the second or multiple times. And my job is to love them to Jesus. And if they ask me what the Scripture says about their circumstances and their condition or their present position, then I am obligated to share Scripture with them and then step back and pray that God will reveal His will to them. But I am always commanded to love them. And love them with the love that they know is real. Marriage, not interested in changing. Not interested in changing. The third thing is modesty. In a world where we find that there isn't much modesty left, the Word of God hasn't changed. A man should dress as a man, a woman should dress as a woman, and involved with that, they should be covered. They should be covered. What does covered mean? It's hard to define, isn't it? It's hard to understand. But I know one thing, I'm not interested in the trend that is taking place all around us to lessen the amount of cloth that it takes to reach that. Someone said, and I'm not finding fault at all, but someone said, we were raised with short sleeves and it didn't hurt us. I was raised with long sleeves and it didn't hurt me. You see, short sleeves aren't just t-shirt length sleeves anymore. They seem to be creeping further and further. Skirts are creeping up. You know, it was argued some years ago by some people that long shorts are on men were acceptable. Now you find those people, those guys that were arguing for long shorts on men, are now wearing something that is far less than that. They're, instead of below the knee, now they're creeping well above the knee. And some of them you'll find on Facebook, sometimes it just makes a person want to delete the whole account. Some of those that argued for long over-the-knee shorts, they're not only are they wearing shorter than that shorts, now they're going shirtless too. You see, what we're finding today is a tremendous breakdown in the principles of modesty that quite often begin with small, maybe even considered insignificant points, but they usually don't end there. Seldom do they end there. Modesty. If I'm in a tank top and knee-length shorts on a sandy beach in July, I'm quite modest by comparison. But that is the wrong comparison. What are we to use for comparison? We are to use the principle of being covered that the Scripture shares with us. And I have no doubt in my mind that the person that is truly hungry for righteousness and hungry to find God's will, they will search the Scriptures, they will ask God to give them direction. I have seen it and I have heard testimony of it so many times that people in nominal circumstances, God led them out of those nominal circumstances and led them to modesty that I would agree with. How does that happen without preaching from somebody who is on some kind of a soapbox? Oh, they're being so critical up there. I can't go to listen to that evangelist because he's so hard on things. You know, we have a problem with that. Why can't we just simply receive what the preacher says and take it back to God? God, how does this apply to me? How do you want me to receive this? Show me, honestly, I'm seeking for your righteousness. Honestly, I want to know God's will. I had some new converts in Evansville. They were probably the key to the revival that we experienced for quite some time in the Evansville church. And they made some drastic changes. And some of those drastic changes came nearly overnight. And it surprised her family. Her family was completely unaware that people like the Pilgrim Holiness Church existed. And they told her that she had become a holy roller. And she'd get up and testify, and she'd say with a smile on her face, "I'm so thankful to be a holy roller." What was it all about? I didn't preach it. I didn't preach anything more there than what I do here. I didn't have to. There was a hunger in their heart that led them. The fourth thing, final thing that I want to notice this evening that I'm not interested in changing. Our message. What is our message? Let me read to you quickly different passages that make up our message. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification. For God hath not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. And there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination, or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. What is our message? Our goal with our message is to make sure that people's names, your names and my name, and the people that we have opportunity to reach, that their name is written in the Lamb's book of life. To tell the good news of Calvary, the empty tomb, Pentecost. Every time somebody asks me if I'm Pentecostal, I want to answer them yes. Yes, I'm Pentecostal. Yes, I believe in Pentecost. Yes, it's a vital aspect of my beliefs and of our beliefs. No, we don't adhere to the thing that most Pentecostal would adhere to in the speaking of tongues. But yes, I'm Pentecostal. I hope we are. Turned the corner there in Gatlinburg as we were heading in Monday evening. And on the street corner were the likes of Aaron McCarty and pastor at Hope Sound, Ellison, and some others standing around. And I put my window down and I hollered out at them, "Are you all Pentecostal?" They turned their face my direction and said, "Yes, we are." I like that. Because I believe in the coming of the Holy Spirit and what it does and did for the church in the purifying of the heart. And I believe that that's a vital aspect of our belief system. I'm not interested in changing morality, marriage, modesty, or our message. When it comes to methods, as we have seen over the past 13 months, early on especially, changing our method of in-house gathering to drive-in gathering, or, oh my, the IHC without bleachers, changes in the method. There may be times when we change a little bit of a method. We don't venture far from specific things of our method. We still have a basis. And we're not interested in changing the basis that it's important for us as a church together. It's important for us to worship together. But there are times when the method may change. But may God help us that our morality and our definition of marriage and the principles of modesty and the message that God has provided for us that brings us to our name written in the Lamb's Book of Life, may it never be up for debate. Settled in our heart. I'm going through whatever the cost. Not conformed to this world, but being transformed by the renewing of our mind. Let's stand together tonight. I am determined, I've made up my mind, I will serve the Lord. I've left all this world and its pleasures behind, I will serve the Lord. I'll follow I'll pasture wherever he feedeth, for I am determined, I've made up my mind, I will serve the Lord. Amen. Praise God. Brian, would you dismiss us with prayer?